What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Spread, Nesson's Football Picks Podcast. I'm Ricky Doyle, joined by Andre Kasatorian. Mike Cole, who's usually running the offense as well, is out again this week as he tends to his fatherhood. It seems to be keeping his head above water there, so that's good. But we're here to make our conference championship picks. Last week we did the division round, obviously. And we're just gonna keep the train moving here towards Super Bowl week. So, Andre, how are you doing? I know you had a little trip, and now you're back in the mix. So it's good to have
you.
Yeah,
it was good. You know, I went to St. Thomas. It was good times. But you know, it's back to business. You know, championship weekend, my favorite weekend of the year, because you get not one but two great NFL games, and also you know, you're not getting the riffraff crowd watching the game with you. That would be watching with you on the Super Bowl, because everybody watches the Super Bowl. But this game, it's just, you know, it's still football fans watching it. So and you get two games, not one, but two games. So, yeah. And we're probably seeing the greatest game of all this week with Brady versus Rodgers. We've all wanted to see that matchup in a high profile playoff game for a very long time now, when we finally get it. So very excited. And then you have like a new rivalry budding in the other AFC game with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. It's probably the first of many playoff games between those two.
Yeah, I think from an entertainment standpoint, this might be the best case scenario for the NFL. I mean, these four teams being in there. I mean, I think it is the four best teams. A lot of star power that we'll get into. So it should be interesting. But real quick, before we get into that, let's just look back real quick on the divisional round. I don't know if you have the records of how we did. I think it was a pretty mediocre performance all around.
You and I both went 2-2 last week. Mike Cole actually went 3-1. A nice bounce back from his wild card round performance when he went 0-5-1. So fatherhood was probably keeping him very busy prior to the wild card week, and maybe he's getting more used to it now and went 3-1 in the divisional round.
So more importantly than our records, I sense that you had a little rant coming on before we started recording.
Because yeah,
there were a few things that seemed to be eating at you a little bit, and I think we're on the same page with that.
It was the Bills and the Ravens game. You know, first of all, the fact that Lamar Jackson got hurt and kind of ruins the entire pick, and especially I was very confident in that Ravens pick. I thought they would be able to run all over the Bills in that game. And they did. They had over 150 rushing yards. But, you know, you have a pick six there, and it's just so hard sometimes to predict these things. And and also the Bills stink against tight ends. You thought Mark Andrews might have had a big game. Didn't. And what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, and see, I'm looking at it purely from a fan standpoint too. Like Lamar Jackson leaving that game just sucked the air right out of it. I mean, at that point you're in a field position battle, and it's just any entertainment value that game had just went out the window towards the end. And it really felt like, I guess the Patrick Mahomes injury added a wrinkle that we didn't see coming in that the Chiefs Browns game. So that, and maybe it made it a little more interesting in that regard. And obviously with the Chad Henne play at the end, that was incredibly entertaining. So it's hard to pick too much fault in that game, but it does kind of suck too. When you have essentially back-to-back games in, you know, divisional weekend where two star quarterbacks go down.
Yeah. And those are your two losses, right? Cause you picked the Chiefs to cover that 10-point spread. Right. I actually got lucky with that. I had the Browns cover. I predicted the Browns to win the game. But you know, I'm glad they at least covered. And that Rams Packers game, I thought the Rams, I know that as banged up as they were, I thought they would be able to show up and, you know, put up more of a defensive effort. Cause yeah, their quarterback situation was a mess, but I thought at least they'll be able to slow down, the Packers running game. They had the third best, rush defense in terms of yards allowed per carry going into that game. And, both Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones ran all over the Rams. And that's actually an interesting concept, because, you know, the Packers running attack against a strong rush defense, because they were able to do it in the divisional round. They have another strong rush defense that they're facing in the NFC Championship game. So we'll get to that. I guess that's the first game, right? So we should get to that now.
Let's just get into it now. Real quick, though, speaking of messes, you do have a little bit of a looks like some lint on your beard. So you might take care of that. I'm always just looking out for you. Yeah, there you go. You clean up a little bit now. So now we'll get into the picks now that we're well-groomed. And we'll start with the game that you alluded to, the Packers laying 3.5 points. Three or 3.5. I guess it depends on where you're – I would shop around for this game a little bit and see if you can get the line out. We're going to go with 3.5. There's been a little bit of movement because, frankly, just people love pouring money in on Tom Brady. And for the most part, it's worked out over the years, so I guess why not? But we're going to go with 3.5. Green Bay 3.5-point favorites hosting the Buccaneers at 3:05 kickoff at Lambeau Field. Weather may be a factor. I'm not sure. Right now the forecast looks like it's mostly cloudy, some chilly temps in the 20s, maybe some snow in the morning. So maybe there's, some precipitation or field dampness that lingers over into the late afternoon. We'll see. But I know that both you and I were on the Bucs last week looking to pull the upset in New Orleans. Can they do it again?
Well, when people are too obsessed with the quarterback matchup, Rodgers versus Brady, and it's for reasonably so, but that's not what's going to decide the game. The quarterback matchup is a wash in this one. Both guys are legends who perform well in the cold. What I'm looking at is what I just talked about in the divisional game, in the Rams-Packers game, is Green Bay going to be able to establish a running attack against a really elite rush defense? And I don't think they will be able to do that this week, back-to-back weeks. Well, this season, when the Packers had more than 110 rushing yards in the game, they went 9-0. When they had fewer than that number, they were 5-3. They proved me wrong against the Rams. They were able to do it against them. But the Bucs are just a stingier rush defense. Rams were number 3 in rushing yards allowed per carry. Bucs were number 1. And they're getting Vita Vea back. He returned to practice this week. And also Jamal Williams might be out for the Packers. So you're getting a key component of the Packers running attack maybe out of that game. And you're also getting a key component of the Bucs rushing defense into the game. So I think this bodes well for Tampa Bay. They're going to be able to take a key aspect out of the Packers offense out of that game, maybe put too much on Aaron Rodgers' plate. But I think the Bucs will be able to have a more of a balanced attack in terms of passing attack, running attack. And because of that, I think they'll cover that spread, especially if it's 3.5. If I'm getting 3.5, I'm taking that for sure. But I do think they come out and win the game outright, but 3.5, I really like that. And for what it's worth, the Bucs haven't lost by more than 3 points to any non-Saints opponent this year. And they exercised those demons last week.
See, I guess I think they can run the ball on them. I don't think that's a given.
You're right. They did it against the Rams last week.
If they did it against the Rams last week, that offensive line is, we've touched on multiple times over the last few weeks, is tremendous, both in pass blocking and run blocking, even in spite of the David Bakhtiari injury. And I think that Bucs defense, when you look at the numbers, obviously they're one of the better units across the NFL throughout the season. But I mean, they've shown some holes, down the stretch and into the postseason. I mean, since week 14, 23rd in run success rate against, according to Sharp Football Stats. Sometimes they have some issues tackling. I think that was obviously a huge to get Devin White back in that game against New Orleans, but 23rd in tackling for the season, according to Pro Football Focus. You got a guy like Aaron Jones who, makes a living off basically just getting yards after contact. And so if that offensive line is able to control the line of scrimmage for Green Bay and Aaron Jones can get to that second level, I think it makes life a little bit easier on Aaron Rodgers. So I think you and I differ a little bit in just how much Green Bay is going to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
But ultimately for me, I think from an offensive standpoint with the Packers is, what's the one thing the Saints couldn't do last week or didn't even try to do really? I mean, is throw the ball downfield. I mean, they could not throw the ball downfield for the life of them, largely because of just Drew Brees seemingly not having much left in the tank. I think Green Bay is going to be able to do that. I think that's the one area where Tampa Bay is a little bit vulnerable. I think there's an opportunity there to pick on those cornerbacks. For as good as the Buccaneers linebackers are, they do have some issues in pass coverage. I look, since week 8, the Bucs 14th in dropback EPA, sandwiched between the Seahawks and Vikings, two teams that throughout the season had secondary issues of their own. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, passes 20-plus yards downfield, first in passing yards, third in completion percentage, fourth in passer rating, 12-1 touchdown interception ratio. They seemingly find the weak link in the defense. They did that with the Rams, sort of picking on Troy Hill a little bit. And I just think that they'll find a soft spot in that Buccaneers D and sort of chip away at it. I just think that if you're Tampa Bay, you can't rely on those turnovers again. Obviously that swung the game in Tampa Bay's favor last week. I just think there's a lot of things lining up for Green Bay to maybe even run away with this a little bit.
And you made a good point with the deep passes. I just looked at Tampa Bay's, the longest touchdown passes that they allowed this year. And they only allowed 4 touchdown passes longer than 30 yards this season, longer than 25 yards, only 4. But they were against, 2 of them were against Patrick Mahomes and the other 2 were against Justin Herbert. Now, those are 2 quarterbacks who can throw the deep ball pretty well. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is in that class as well. So yeah, maybe you do see a deep touchdown pass. And another thing to strengthen your point is, yeah, Tom Brady has been very good as of late in protecting the football. Early in the season, he was throwing some picks, but still, Aaron Rodgers is the best in the game when it comes to not turning the ball over. Right. Brady has 1 pick in the last 6 games, but you know, Rodgers is the king at that. He has just 3 picks in the last 12 games, and just 5 picks all season long. So if you're going to see like a key turnover, I think there's a higher chance that it comes from Brady than from Rodgers. Brady's got to play a clean game.
I completely agree. And you know, I don't want to gloss over the fact that when these teams met in week 6, you know, the Bucs more or less laid a beat down on them, 38-10 in Tampa Bay. But I do think that you need a little context with that game. I mean, obviously that was, these teams come a long way since then, but Green Bay did lead in that game 10-0 in the second quarter at one point. There's a tipped pass there that got intercepted. That was Devontae Adams' first game back from an injury, I believe. No Allen Lazard in that game. I think the Bucs defense, to, you know, my previous point, I think they've regressed a little bit. The Buccaneers, they just came out and blitzed Aaron Rodgers at an incredibly high rate and tried to fluster him, and ultimately it worked. I mean, he had the 3rd worst completion percentage of his career in that game. But I think that that's more of an aberration than anything, because Aaron Rodgers typically is excellent against the blitz. So I think that I don't want to completely discredit that game, but I think more than anything, that was a little bit of an aberration. Like, I don't expect
it. Aaron Jones, that game, 10 attempts, 15 yards. He didn't do anything in that game. So that I do think that's going to be one thing that won't change from that game, is the Packers' inability to run in that this week. Especially, I just don't think they can do back-to-back weeks against elite rush defenses, especially when Tampa Bay is getting a key component potentially back under rush defense. So just factoring on all that in, and we are making picks against the spread, and I'm getting 3.5 points, yeah, I'll take Tampa Bay. But I don't know who wins. If I had to pick, I'll say Tampa Bay would win that game as well. But, yeah.
A few other things I'll just point to real quick in terms of ingredients for why I like the Packers. Their defense has gotten much better. That's another thing that's sort of changed since that week 6 game. Third downs, the Packers offense, 1st and 3rd down conversion percentage. The Buccaneers defense, 18th. Red zone, Packers 1st in red zone offense. Tampa Bay, 21st in red zone defense. Largely because of Devontae Adams, how much of a stud he is in the red zone, a huge factor. In special teams, it's sort of a, that's a hard thing to predict or to, you know, to sort of bank on, but there were some issues there, and particularly in punt coverage for the Bucs last week. They got a little bit lucky with you know, that block in the back call on one of the punt returns. So maybe this is a game where special teams plays a factor for one team or the other. I don't even know who. But I just think that's something to sort of watch as a narrative that isn't really touched on, but ultimately could play a factor.
Yeah. And also one thing to consider is, you know, the Bucs had won the turnover battle 4-0 last week, and they only won by 10 points. And, you know, you turn the ball over 4 times and the other team doesn't, that has a recipe for like a 20 point game, you know, but it was still only a 10 point game. The Saints were in that game. So if the Packers don't turn the ball over, which they usually don't, and assuming neither team turns the ball over, turnover battle is a wash. I think that bodes better for the Packers. I think the Bucs need like a key turnover in this game in order to win. But still, even with that said, I think the rush defense thing is really big, and I'll side with the Bucs.
Bucs, Antonio Brown. Sounds Antonio like a game-time out. Decision. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention this.
Because no, it looks like he's actually out.
Is he officially out now?
Yeah, I read 45 minutes ago, Antonio Brown ruled out for NFC title game.
Okay. So that's big. I mean, his emergence down the stretch has obviously kicked that offense into a different gear. So I don't think that's not a deal breaker. That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me either way, but it's certainly something to consider. But I did want to just mention real quick, because we touched on the weather. I want to give a shout out to our own Zach Cox, who looked at how Brady and Rodgers have fared in the cold weather this year. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. So from earlier this week, like I said, looked into the numbers. During his Patriots run, which was 20 years, Brady played in 29 games in which the temperature was below 30 degrees, 125 of them. When facing those conditions in the playoffs, Brady's 13-1, including AFC championship victories in 2004, 2007, and 2018. I don't know how much of an advantage that is, because you look on the other side and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is no stranger to that weather either. 21-5 in starts in which the kickoff temperature is in the 20s or below. So both basically the short and long of it is that both of these quarterbacks are fully capable of playing in inclement conditions. So
this is why I said it was a wash.
First probably shouldn't be a factor.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll move on now to the second game. I do kind of like that we're limiting this to one day this week. After back-to-back, like, I loved the stacked football lineup, don't get me wrong, but I was a little exhausted after last week.
Yeah.
6 games in the wild card round, 4 games last week.
But they put the Saints-Bucks, like, as the last game. It's like, that's the game everyone's looking forward to, but you're already exhausted by that point.
Right, but they're just getting right after it on Sunday this time around. I mentioned that Bucks-Packers was a 3:05 kick. The Bills traveling to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. That one is a 6:40 kickoff from Arrowhead Stadium. This line has been just really tough to put your finger on throughout the course of the week, not knowing the status of arguably the best player on the planet, Patrick Mahomes. But we're going to go with Chiefs as 3-point favorites, which seems to be where most sports books are leaning right now for the number. This tells me that Mahomes is probably going to play. It's all signs seem to be positive so far. So I'm kind of working on the assumption that he is going to play. Obviously if Chad Henne was the start in place of Patrick Mahomes, this would shift that line maybe significantly. I mean, I think you would be looking at probably the Bills might even be favored by 3 points or so. I mean, you could look at theoretically a 7-8 point swing based on one man suiting up for this game, but he's an important man. So we're going to, I know I'm working on the assumption that he's playing. So Chiefs 3-point favorites, the Bills coming in have been just red hot down the second half of the season into the playoffs. Both of us were on the Ravens last week and we're eating some crow this week. So I don't know, which way are you leaning in this matchup? Did you learn anything from the Bills that, maybe you didn't know prior, or, you know, has your perception of them changed at all?
What I learned is that they haven't played against an elite offense like the Chiefs in a long time. And they are going to face an elite offense like the Chiefs this week. They're playing the Chiefs. So
there you go.
Since week 12, the Bills opponents, they played the Chargers, who were 21st in yards per play. Then the 49ers, 15th. Steelers, 24th. Broncos, 26th. Patriots, 21st. Dolphins, 23rd. To close out the regular season. They just played a bunch of crappy offenses who obviously aren't as explosive as the Chiefs. Then in the playoffs, they played two top 10 yards per play teams, the Colts and the Ravens. The Colts, that was a close game. They could have lost that game. And the Ravens, of course, Lamar Jackson got hurt. Who knows what happens if he stays healthy. Regardless, neither of those teams are as good offensively as the Chiefs are. And they've already lost them already. And we mentioned earlier that the Bills stink against tight ends. They allowed the second most receiving yards to tight ends this year, the most receptions to tight ends this year. Now, Travis Kelce's going to have a massive game in this one. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, he's back in practice this week. He might be back. He ran all over Buffalo in that first game. And on the other side of the ball, again, Buffalo, they're very one-dimensional in terms of they're just a passing team. They did it last week. They barely ran the ball last week against Baltimore. And the Chiefs, their biggest weakness, I always say it, is their rush defense. But Bills don't really have a running attack. They're very reliant on their passing attack. And the Chiefs, their pass defense is decent. You know, they allowed 7.1 yards per pass attempt. It'll be cold in Kansas City against a young quarterback. I think this is where the Bills run ends. I think the Chiefs, they blow them out of the water in this game. They incorporate some running attack, especially if Clyde Edwards-Hilaire plays. I think they open up an early lead and they use a rush attack to kill time and win the game at home. I think that's also another thing, the coaching advantages. Andy Reid against McDermott, I think that's a big favor for the Chiefs as well.
So just real quick, you mentioned the Andy Reid thing. It's kind of interesting that this is the Chiefs' third straight AFC championship game. Tying the 2002 to 2004 Eagles for the longest streak since the merger, also coached by Andy Reid. So yeah. Mr. Reid is doing something right. For me, this game's tough, but like I said, I'm working on the assumption that Patrick Mahomes is going to play. But I think even if he does play, I'm a little bit concerned about that foot or turf toe issue, you know, whatever that was, where he's been sort of hobbling around a little bit, even prior to that concussion. Like, the concussion is one thing. Obviously, that's more significant from a just purely health standpoint. But as far as impacting his performance, I think I'm more concerned about that foot and whether that's going to be an issue, if that cuts down his mobility, his ability to improvise. Obviously, you know, huge aspects of his game. It's largely what makes him so special. And I, you know, that Chiefs offensive line down the stretch, dealing with some injuries, inconsistency late in the season, which contributed to a lot of their, to them looking mortal offensively, or it just looking mortal in general in terms of covering the spread. I mean, this team 0-8-1 against the spread in their last nine games. They haven't covered since blowing out the Jets as 19.5 point favorites on November 1st. 6-10-1 against the spread for the season. So I don't know. I just think that if Buffalo is able to get some pressure on him without blitzing, because, you know, it's well chronicled how good Patrick Mahomes is against the blitz. But if they're able to create some pressure up front without bringing any extra rushers, they are second in pass rush win rate according to ESPN analytics. It sort of flush him out of the pocket. I think that mobility is going to become an issue. In the Bills defense, you know, it's sort of a wash, these two defenses, I guess. I mean, they both have some strengths and weaknesses, but overall both sort of middle of the pack. But I think Buffalo has come on as of late, and you know, look at that pass coverage. They're finally healthy at the second level. Matt Milano didn't play in the first matchup between these two teams, which I think contributed greatly to the Chiefs running all over them. And ultimately just good personnel in that secondary. So if they can, like I said, generate some pressure against Mahomes, lean on that pass coverage a little bit, I think Buffalo's defense might be a sneaky X factor in this game. So I'm taking the Bills. I think that defensively they're probably gonna take a similar approach to that last game, the last matchup in week six, which the Chiefs won 26 to 17 in Buffalo. Basically just ran all over them. You mentioned the Clyde Edwards-Helaia, huge game in that one. I think they're gonna sort of make the Chiefs beat them that same way, dare them to run the ball. And I think that they're going to be better equipped to stop it this time around. The fact that I'm getting the points, I'm not in love with it. You mentioned the tight end thing. That's still a concern. But I don't know. The Mahomes injury to me is, maybe he comes up and he just completely shuts everybody up and he just looks like his normal self. But I just think that's a huge question mark going into this game. And if there's one team that can keep up with the Chiefs this season, in addition to Green Bay, it would be Buffalo. I think it has obviously been a lot made of the way to beat the Chiefs is to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, jam it down their throat, blah, blah, blah. I think if you look back, ultimately you're going to end up in a shootout with this team. And if there's a team that can sort of run with them, I think it's the Bills.
Yeah, no, it's that's a bold pick, I think. I think the Chiefs. Look, the Mahomes injury situation is definitely valid, but I strongly believe that he's at that point of his life. If he was a 38-year-old quarterback, I would say, yeah, okay, maybe this might hinder him. But he's a young kid. He's half of yours and mine age. He's going to be fine. I think he'll shake it off and thrive, in especially at home. They're going to have a crowd there. It's going to be great for the Chiefs.
So I would like to see the Bills actually try to run the ball a little bit more, though. I mean, They opened that game against the Ravens with 19 straight pass plays. And given that, as you mentioned, the Chiefs' run defense is sort of a weakness of theirs, I'd at least like to see them try to run a little bit. And that might even be some design runs for Josh Allen or you know, leaning on some RPOs and getting yards on the ground that way. But I think that, you know, the Chiefs are going to try to make you beat them over the top, and they're pretty good at that. I mean, they'll force you to throw deep, but then they're able to take that away. You got the Honey Badger back there, capable of making plays. So, I'm not ruling out one of those classic. We've sort of been built up to get broken down by Josh Allen coming out and turning the ball over three or four times. Like, I think that's fully within reason and totally within play here.
Right.
But I think if they can – really, the Bills' biggest adversary could be themselves. Like, I want to see them come out, try to run it a little bit, lean on those short to intermediate routes with Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs, and just sort of, you know, pick up a few chunk yards at a time, and take it from there, and then hope that your defense is good enough.
Which quarterback matchup would you be most excited to watch in the Super Bowl?
Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. That's what I have. I have the Chiefs and the Bucks.
Because I think it would be fascinating if Brady, en route to potentially another Super Bowl win, goes through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes.
That would be at 43 years old.
Yeah. I think that if it comes down to it, if the Bucks are able to pull off that upset, it needs to be a matchup with Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
I do think it would be awesome to see the Bills win their first Super Bowl by beating Tom Brady, though, after all of those years when they lost to them.
I don't know if you can really go wrong.
You can't. You really can't. They're all good. Remember that one year we had Case Keenum in the NFC Championship game? Yeah. this is a little bit better than that.
I guess the worst case scenario is that, like, Mahomes gets his bell rung in the first quarter or something, and Chad Henne guides him to a victory, and we're talking about, you know, Chad Henne versus Aaron Rodgers or something.
Where does Case Keenum play now anyway? Is he on the Broncos? He's on the Browns. Who knew?
Future Patriots quarterback.
Case Keenum, he had 10 pass attempts this year against the Steelers. 5 for 10, 46 yards.
I was gonna say, earlier in the year, there was a point where it looked like Case Keenum was gonna get a little run in Cleveland before Baker turned things around.
Let me tell you, yeah, what was that NFC? There was a chance that year we would have, yeah, the NFC Championship game was Nick Foles versus Case Keenum.
Yeah.
And the AFC Championship game was Tom Brady versus Blake Bortles.
Yep.
There was a chance you were going to see Blake Bortles and Case Keenum in the Super Bowl. This year definitely beats that.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but I'm excited.
Yeah,
like I said at the beginning, all things considered, this is probably the best Final Four you could ask for. So we'll see how it goes. We'll be back. The Super Bowl week, we'll go heavy on that. We'll introduce some props. Get some props.
Bring back Sammy P for Sam Panayotovich for some his breakdowns. He's a good Serbian man. We like him.
And who knows? Maybe Mike Cole's theme music will hit, and he'll come running down to the ring to deliver his Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We would like spoilers, to have that. But it's in play. Who knows? But until then, we will go and we will enjoy the conference championship weekend.
There's a huge fight this Saturday night. Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. Before we leave, please. What do you think is going to happen?
This is a McGregor win, right? I mean, this is sort of one of those he gets back on the horse type of deal. Cerrone was that. I put it as a similar fight to that. This is building towards something bigger.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I say McGregor, but I do think it's a brawl. I think it goes all five rounds, similar to what we saw last week with Calvin Kattar and Max Holloway, which is an unbelievable. That's
awesome,
fight.
By the way.
What a great guy Calvin Kattar is, too. Good Boston man. But McGregor and Poirier, I think, goes all five rounds, and they give it, 49-46 across the board to McGregor.
That's fair. Kattar's one tough SOB, and I'll tell you one thing. Max Holloway looked pretty good.
He looks like he's back. Ah, exciting times in the UFC. But anyway, let's sign off now.
Yeah, let's get the hell out of here. We'll be back, like I said, in the next week or the week after. We'll figure out when we're going to record the Super Bowl episode. But we'll be down to two at that point. And it should be fun. So for Andre Cacciatore and I'm Ricky Doyle, this has been The Spread of Nessun's Football Picks Podcast. We'll see you soon. Enjoy the games, everybody.